This is the State of Things broadcasting from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stasio. Stimp Hawkins spends a lot of time thinking about death. It's not a morbid fascination. He considers it a wholesome way to consider life in the face of our inevitable end. He hosts monthly meetings called Cafe Mortal and Death Cafe in Greensboro for people to talk about issues related to death and end-of-life concerns. Stimp recently celebrated his death at a decoration party for his cremation casket. He's one of the few people who has thrown his own memorial service and lived to talk about it. Stimp is 82 years old. He's a retired minister and a former hospice chaplain and joins me now on the State of Things. Stimp Hawkins, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And let's talk more about your ideas and these gatherings that you have, but I want to hear some of the backstory. You are a former minister, and you served in the Korean War. Tell us about your journey to becoming a minister.
Well, I went through a conversion experience, and all I knew was Christianity. So I ended up going to seminary when I was 35 years old, and found out when I left after 3 years, I was still as spiritually hungry as I was when I went in, and was introduced to Zen, and then Zen Buddhism, and was able, because of a dear friend, introducing me to a situation at Lehigh University where the Dalai Lama was going to be teaching for a week. So I went there and found my home in Tibetan Buddhist practice. And which was so fascinating with that, the Dalai Lama taught from a text that was written in 1400 by Tsongkhapa, who was a great Tibetan Buddhist teacher. And in there, he says that when we die, we go alone. The only thing that we can take with us is our spiritual practice. And so that is what I find to be so helpful to me in my journey, is to have a spiritual practice which consists of prayer, meditation. And I've been so blessed to have been in therapy with a wonderful therapist who's helped me understand myself and to be able to work with my shadow self, and which has really given me a firm foundation to be able to be so open and knowing that at any moment, I know it could happen. It could happen to any of us. And what is of deep concern to me after spending 10 years with hospice is for those people who have made no preparations whatsoever to be blindsided. And I could sit here all afternoon and tell stories of those people who were caught off guard and left their families in such chaos to have brought me to the point of, I think it's selfish if we do not have these discussions in our families and with our friends.
Selfish and perhaps a little baffling if you think about it. We will all have unique experiences in these lives, things in these lives that we live, things that will never happen to anybody else. The one thing we know about for sure is that we will all die.
Exactly.
That's the one thing we don't talk about and prepare for. You came to that understanding through your own practice and by your own journey. What do you think accounts for the fact that we resist this conversation and even these thoughts?
Fear. Ernest Becker wrote the classic back in 1971 called The Denial of Death, in which he says very plainly that our biggest psychological problem is our fear of death. And so people don't want to bring it up. They don't want to talk about it. They feel like if they talk about it, what is going to happen? Well, if that's going to happen, I would have been dead 30 years ago. You know? So, I mean, and that's what needs to happen. People need to talk about it, and that's why we have Cafe Mortal and we have Death Cafe, where people can gather, can come in and talk openly and freely, you know, about their own fears and anxieties. No advice is given. All we do is sit there and listen, and what we are doing in essence is supporting each other in this journey that needs to be front and center.
Well, I want to welcome to this conversation now Leah Miller. Leah is executive director of the nonprofit Creative Aging Network and a fellow Cafe Mortal member with Stimp. Welcome, Leah. Good to have
Thank
you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
tell us more about Cafe Mortal, its origins, and so how did it get started?
Sure. So interestingly, Stemp and I were talking before we came on here about something that I realized was really a trigger for me, and I had ended up in the hospital a few years ago, and was there for 5 days, and sort of realized my own mortality at the age of 45, and at that point, I realized how unprepared I was, and I have children, and I have family members, and I wanted to sort of get my own life in order. At the same time, I am very aware of how our society is extremely ageist, and not only do we focus on youth and ignore aging or sort of push it aside as if it's not going to happen, but that brings us to death. We also ignore death. And I think the fear that people have is of the potential pain that we will have at the end of life, not necessarily death itself, but what happens as we get to that point of death. So I had the opportunity from being executive director of Creative Aging Network to research what was out there, and I learned about Death Cafe. I learned about Cafe Mortal as the original format for this, a Swiss format. And in thinking about creating this for our community, I discussed with Stemp and Ivan, who works with us as well, about the name. And did we want to go with the name Death Cafe, or did we want to go with Cafe Mortal? And we're all mortals. We all, have mortality. And that's the original name. And at the same time, we wanted to have the opportunity to help educate people and provide resources at end of life. So Death Cafe is a movement that exists all across the country. And Cafe Mortal is our program that is very much like Death Cafe, but we also bring in resources for people and guest speakers. And one other note, mortal is the same word in many different languages, so we have a high population of Hispanic folks here, and reaching out to that group, we were able to do that and have guest speakers come in and talk about Dia de los Muertos and incorporate a lot of other cultural traditions.
So, Stemp, where do you meet, when, and who shows up?
Okay, we meet at the independent bookstore just in the next block,
Scuppernong
Books. They've been most gracious and kind in allowing us to come and have this. And people come, they'll see that there's a sign out front, and they either say Cafe Mortal or Death Cafe, and people will come in off the street. And Lambeth Troxler Funeral Home has been so kind to us. They were the ones that provided my box that you see here.
You brought your casket.
Yeah, I brought my casket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, after all this is over, I'll be glad to get in it.
Okay.
I was in it last Thursday, and my youngest daughter took a picture, and my wife couldn't come. So she put a caption under it, "He looks too comfortable." Anyway, but it was delightful. It does. And I'm so grateful for them for providing this for me. And any of you who would like to come up and sign, please.
You know, if you think about it, it is the ultimate selfie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd love that. Anyway, I'm sorry, Stemp.
Yeah. No, that's great. But, I look out here in the audience, and I've got so many of my team who helped me with this. I could not do this alone.
Right.
I had a situation while I was with hospice, a friend of mine who had been a colonel in Vietnam, I became his hospice chaplain when he was diagnosed. And because of the people that he served with and loved him were all over the United States. So what they wanted to do, rather than have a funeral, was to have a celebration of his life. And so they asked me to be the master of ceremonies for this, as they brought all these people in, and this was a month after he died. And so that was the first time I'd ever heard of it, and so that's what I wanted. And I've got Susan Sossman out here who has taken that on. She calls herself the goodbye girl. And so what she does, she organizes celebrations of life.
So you did this for yourself. right?
Yeah.
And had her organize it and allowed other people to decorate. It's a box. It's really a cremation box.
Right.
So it's,
exactly.
It's a kind of a cardboard box. And everybody's, you know, put their, kind of like signing your cast.
Sure.
In a way.
Sure.
But you were there. And the other thing is you get to hear the nice things that people are going to say about you.
Well, yeah, but still there's going to be a celebration afterwards to hear the other side. Come on, Frank, you know that.
Couple
yeah,
of drinks
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's right.
Couple of drinks
yeah,
in,
yeah, yeah, right. And some people have written on the inside, too, some things that they want me to see. And also some pictures, you know, so.
What is that like to you? I mean, again, to embody these things is one thing to think about it. You come at it spiritually, then you actually become a chaplain, then a hospice chaplain.
Yeah.
So it's you're getting closer and closer. But actually to embody death, I mean, to lie in your own casket, did it really change anything for you, having thought about this for so long?
Listen, it really was so comfortable. I mean, and honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I am so ready. My wife knows exactly what I want.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to do, because so many people are caught off guard. Oh, my God, we didn't talk about this. I mean, I'm on the phone this morning with somebody whose father-in-law is in the hospital now, and they have nothing written down. He's got everything in his head, and he, oh, gosh. And so I am saying, listen, now see, when that happens, you're playing catch-up, because people are in that chaos, really don't know what to do. So what this man has done has left his family in this state of really not knowing what he wants, and he could go any moment.
Right.
Any of us could go any moment.
Well, and more difficult yet is if he doesn't go, but is in this place where suddenly doctors are now asking the family whether to resuscitate or not, or some
right.
very difficult questions, and then the family can become divided.
Right.
Because you, Stemp, it's good of you to bring in your casket. I won't ask you to take your shirt off, but tattooed on your
all
chest.
Right, well, I'll take it off.
All right. Well, go
all
ahead.
Okay.
You do
all
that.
Right, okay. Here we
and,
go. Here we go,
take
everybody.
Stemp Hawkins. While Stemp is disrobing, Stemp is disrobing. Oh no, that's going to happen faster than I thought.
Yeah, all right. There. Well, are we on TV?
That's great. There you go.
Yeah. What I have a it's DNR, and my dear sweet stepdaughter. Said, you just don't want a DNR on there. And I was teaching her and others about Tibetan Buddhist mythology. And it all started with a monkey, Avalokitesvara, monkey of compassion. And she said, well, let's put the monkey on there, you know, to kind of decorate it. Hmm. So there it is. We went to a tattoo parlor. She took care of it. And so we had it done. So the last time I was on the operating table, the surgeon comes over, and he looks down, you know, with a big smile on his face, and I said, oh, you like the monkey? He said, well, the monkey's okay, but I love the DNR. Now, the rest of the story is that night when the nurse saw it, she went out and looked and came back in, and she said, oh, my God, you're full code. Your wife needs to get over here with the papers. So this is just decorated.
Uh-huh. Doesn't
okay.
count.
You need papers.
You need the papers.
And the papers you need. You need a healthcare power of attorney, somebody who's going to speak for you. You need a paper that says you want a natural death. You don't want to be like so many who are hooked up to all the machines and drips and everything, who have zero quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the most important one is called the most form that you can get from your doctors. It's the medical orders for scope of treatment. So go to your doctor and get one of those forms. I have it right here in my pocket. And Leah knows and others know here that if I keeled over right now, they won't call EMS.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to go naturally.
Well, and the other point that you make, I'm sure, is that if you do want those things to happen, again, it should be written down. So
exactly.
The point is, whatever you want, make
exactly.
sure that it's all documented
exactly.
and legal. And there are a number of levels of this sort of thing. What are some of the other things, Leah, that people need to know about? I mean, obviously, to be prepared spiritually and emotionally for this is important. But then, sort of legally and in other ways, what should we be thinking about?
Right. Well, I think Stemp just covered it very well. And one of the things that we are that we've talked about in the meetings many times is this, that we must have everything in writing. I think, you know, a few things that have come up have been things like passwords for computers and phones and things. You know, have everything in a file somewhere that you keep locked away where your family members know where it is, know where to access it. So when that day comes, it's easy for them. And also try to have that discussion. As you can see, we have a lot of fun. I mean, we do talk about death and dying, but that's another part of life. And it's a transition. And so you have to look at it as, you know, part of life. It's there is humor there as well. And one of the things that as an organization we're able to do is bring in people to share with us what it is that we need to do legally. So we will bring a guest speaker at our February meeting to have these documents for folks.
So who shows up? I mean, obviously people know what they're getting into. So these are people who are somewhat prepared, right?
Right. So it's a diverse group of folks. We have all ages, I think. I think our youngest folks have been in their 20s. I'm a really terrible judge of age. Mm-hmm. I don't really pay much attention to age. But some younger folks all the way up to, you know, people in their 90s. That have come in and sat with us. And I think the interest is to be with like-minded people, to be able to talk about this topic that is so uncomfortable for so many. And we've had people in the group say, you know, I've tried to talk with my daughter or I've tried to talk with my husband, but they don't want to hear it. So we don't necessarily give advice, but we might offer suggestions. Have you tried this? Have you maybe said it this way? Invite them to the meeting, you know. So,
and I think too, Stimp, just culturally as Americans, we I think have an even harder time with this. We seem to have replaced our souls with our stuff, and that is so renewable that it's hard for us to understand that the case and the shell is really going to give out someday, even though you can keep buying new cars. And so,
right.
I wonder if that's any part of your message is to try to, and certainly as someone who has been in a mindfulness practice and prayer practice. I think you understand how to get to the center of yourself. And,
yes.
But is that part of the message, or is that sometimes more than people can take?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, they have to take it gradually. You know, start the conversation. That's the key, to start the conversation. You know, you can't eat an elephant in one bite. You got to take it one bite at a time. And so, but, you know, so many people, and maybe a lot of people here, I'm going to get around to it, around to it until it's too late. So my message to everybody who can hear, radio, audience, do it now and don't wait, because we never know.
I want to thank you both for being on the program. Stimp Hawkins, a retired minister, a hospice chaplain. Leah Miller is executive director of Creative Aging Network, both members of Cafe Mortal, a monthly discussion group that talks openly about death at Scuppernong Books in Greensboro. And if you want to get a shot of yourself in the in Stimp's coffin, stick around after the show. In the meantime, a local luthier, Terry Fritz, teaches people how to build a guitar from scratch, and we'll hear a little bit of their music right now, so please stay with us on the State of Hymns.
Woke up this morning, put on my slippers, walked in the kitchen and died. And oh, what a feeling when my soul went through the ceiling and on up into heaven I did ride. When I got there, they did say, Terry, it happened this way. Well, you slipped upon the floor and you hit your head. And all the angels say, just before you passed away, well, these were the very last words that you said. Please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. I'm gonna have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane and the blind can have my eyes. And the deaf can take both of my ears. They don't mind the size. Give my stomach to Milwaukee if they run out of beer. Put my socks in a cedar box, just get them out of here. Venus de Milo can have my arms. Well, look out, I've got your nose. And sell my heart to the junk man, but give my love to Rose. But please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. I'm gonna have them cut me up, pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane, and the blind can have my eyes. And the deaf can take both of my ears, they don't mind the size. Well, give my feet to the footloose, careless and fancy free. Give my knees to the needy, don't pull that stuff on me. Hand me down my walking cane, it's a sin to tell a lie. And send my mouth way down south to kiss my ass goodbye.